Good evening and welcome. It's KBC Arts. Arts and entertainment in our region as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Tonight it's music and conversation with rap and hip-hop artist Dreezus. And as of Friday, January 20th, you can find him on The Aux, the music video service of FNX. fnx.org/TheAux, A-U-X. We'll be seeing the video for Warpath from his release Indian Summer. We'll talk about that one a bit later in the program, but first things first.
It seems like yesterday, brainstorming on the couch for days. I'm contemplating on cultivating captivating lines, kept me motivated, my music's always on my mind.
Now, I'm going to start with something really on the newer side, all things relative. Reminisce. I'm going to quote it. I've been waiting my whole career to make a song like this. And so, the song, Reminisce, it's your story, but it's also a big, big thanks to the fans. So tell me about how this song came together.
I actually got together with my old group, Team Res Official.
Okay.
And wanted to make kind of like the reunion track.
Nice.
Actually, the guy who says that is Hellenbeck. He kind of speaks for me too, though, because it just speaks to the fact that we've been doing this for a long time. And we really appreciate the fans. We appreciate those people who've been there by our side the whole time.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Did you actually say that maybe? I've been waiting my whole career. And then somebody was like, say that again. And now somebody puts a beat behind it. How did this one
That was out? his whole mental, the way he felt about his career. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of related to the way we felt because we all were all in the game together.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you at some point in your life were not Dreezus, but you were at one point Jeremiah Manitopas.
Yes, sir.
Saskatoon, is that where you're from?
Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, I was born.
Okay, okay. Yeah. At some point, you began releasing tracks, mixtapes, forming Stress Street Records, Stress Street, with Joey Styles.
Yes, Joey Styles. Stress Street originated in Saskatoon, and Joey Styles, around 2000, he formed Stress Street. It was kind of like a rap crew, slash like basketball, slash like just street family.
Okay.
You know, and I ran into Joey at a rap battle.
Right.
I don't battle anymore, but that's when I used to think I could battle.
Freestyle competition,
like,
kind of
like,
thing.
Like, you see? Okay. Like 8 Mile type of.
That's what I should. Yeah. Without saying it. Okay.
Yeah. So like that's what I thought I could do it, you know, and I was really confident. I actually went down to a battle. I got beat, man. I got rinsed.
Big time.
Rinsed, you know, and it was by some like really young cat. But Joey ran it. I don't know if anybody's gonna hear this now, but he just kind of just slid me through there. He's like he's the one because he seen something in me. Once he noticed the flow, he got behind me and he kind of just like he wins this. You know, like, he's the winner. Oh, no. I'm like what? You know, everybody's like hey, what? You know, everybody knew that I didn't win, but that was basically the start of our relationship. I used to see him on the basketball courts. I used to see him at different Native events in the city, and then after that night, he's like just come down to the studio, and that was basically the first night we recorded some Stress Street tracks. And at that point, there was only about 3 of us. And to this day, we got hundreds of supporters.
Wow. You know? Any of those early tracks still exist that you know of?
Yeah, there's definitely some out there. I remember, like, earlier on, I used to emulate a lot.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, people that you like. People.
Yeah,
that you
so when I go back, or, yeah. Sorry, when I go back to hear the stuff, it's like, oh, man, what was I doing? I sound like Fabulous or something like that, you know? And it was dope, though. Like, you know, it sounded dope. The timing was nice. You know, the flow was right. It's just that it wasn't my own.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You were truly trying to emulate somebody else.
Yeah, and I think...
Instead of taking influence.
Yeah, and I think all types of music are like that.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
We start like that.
Absolutely.
So we start as fans.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
And then I think the love for the music kind of just carries that.
And we're thankful when people do develop their own sound instead of just... continuing to sound like Jay-Z or somebody for the rest of
your
career.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. You have to grow into your own.
Totally. Well, now, one of the cool things that goes on with at least Indian Summer, and I've not checked out Big Baby Dreez or Dreezus Aux, but at least with Indian Summer, you've got a lot of cool things going into most of the tracks, some sort of sound effects or whatever.
Yeah.
What is that going into Solomon's Prayer? The person chanting,
That's actually Solomon.
Oh, okay.
His name is Solomon. He's a Cree elder from Muskwitches, Alberta. I had met him through his granddaughter. His granddaughter was a fan of mine, and she helped me get together the Warpath video. So she invited me down to the ranch on the reserve, and I met her whole family, including her mushroom,
okay,
which means grandfather. And this man, he had a big ranch and had all his boys working. You know, he had dozens of people outside tending to the horses, taking care of. They lit a fire for us for the video. You know, they got on the drum. They all got in their regalia for the video. So they all showed out, just as one family just showed out huge for this video.
Nice.
And I got to really connect with Solomon. And I just took a liking to him and what he said and what he was about and his whole energy. Because he carried that old energy.
Sure.
When I was listening to him talk to me,
yep,
I was like, this guy would be awesome. I asked him if we can collab, basically, for the album. And I asked him if he could say a prayer for our people, kind of using the youth as the firekeepers.
Okay.
So he came through and he was beautiful. You know, it was the first time that I actually incorporated some of my language. Not from myself
right
yet, but it's the first time that I introduced it to my music and the whole layout.
And the rap, it's a short piece to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But the first half of it almost would be Solomon and his prayer. And I don't have the words in front of me, so tell me about the rap that comes in after his prayer. Because it's in essence half him and then you.
Yeah, when I come in, I'm mad.
Yeah.
I think a lot of my music comes off like that because there's a piece of me that has been kind of hidden away,
sure,
my whole life, you know. But I found myself a purpose and I'm learning more from it day by day. As some soldiers ran away, they know my name. I think a lot of Native people go through that, where we have these little capsules of this either fear or pain or you name it, just hidden pockets of these extremely passionate energies. And I think music was my calling to release that. And on that rap, I speak about how basically we're set up to fail as Native youth, from my opinion.
Yeah.
Basically, I speak about getting out of that and where we come from and like not having father figures and how a lot of us looked up to people who were in the street or drinking, or we looked up to a lot of other things other than a father figure.
Right, right.
So we found our guidance through other things that weren't, you know, healthy for us. So that's basically what I talk about. And I talk about breaking through that, you know, okay, and having a voice.
The savage and carefree ways you're accustomed to are over. Your old world is dying. We in the civilized world want to save you. You can try to confuse my pride,
but no, you can't take my soul. That almost goes so directly into the sequel, which is the next track. So it's not only a sequel by title, but a sequel as in it follows Solomon's prayer beautifully, mm-hmm, in that regard and as far as what it's about. You also start this one with some sort of a quote saying, the ways of the savage, the ways you're accustomed to, are over. This is just the beginning of it. But then the sequel, it starts off, it's a song about father and son, but it truly becomes a song, I think, about generational passing
drama
down. Did I read into that right?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I think I mentioned about my dad off the top because personally, in my music, I've spoken a lot about my relationship or even the lack of relationship with my dad. And I don't even know, so I don't gonna miss him. I'm only being real as I'm seeing things clearer. Like, who the hell is this guy standing in the mirror, staring at myself? In the earlier stages of my career, I used to go really hard on him.
Sure.
You know, and I don't feel like that anymore.
Good.
And with that song was one of the turnaround points.
Okay.
And as I was in that writing process, I kind of uncovered something that, like, hey, maybe my dad, you know, maybe he had no choice, or maybe he doesn't have any background to deal with these situations.
Sure.
You know, and actually be there for me as a father. You know, so it was really, really deep. You know, and I feel like my best music is when I actually go deep. And with that, definitely looking into like that situation, I started to realize that boarding school, residential school, the whole system of that just taking the kids out of the homes, putting them in the school far away, no parents, this and that. You know, you basically ghost them.
Wow.
You know, you're ghosting kids. That's why there's so many lost people, I think. But once I look back into it, I start to realize, man, they did a number on us. Like I say, you can try to confuse my pride,
yes,
but no, you can't take my soul. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Basically saying that, okay, you took us away, cut our hair, tried to assimilate us, but I still know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what I'm saying with that track.
Nice.
I also went to residential school myself. I went to the last one that was open in Canada.
Oh, before it started. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
But
oh,
by that time, it was already, the church was already gone.
Okay.
Out of the system.
Okay.
It was tribal.
Yeah,
it was run by tribal counselors and stuff like that. So I didn't like deal with the priest or anything like that.
Being allowed your own language.
Yeah, and it was the opposite.
Oh, good.
But you were sitting in this building that claimed the lives of like hundreds of kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I still felt it. You know,
we
dealt with a lot of weird stuff in there.
It's Music in Conversation with rap and hip hop artist Dreezus. We're hearing about his release Indian Summer, among other things. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. Back now to Music in Conversation with rap and hip-hop artist Dreezus. You can find him on the AUX, the music video service of FNX. FNX.org/TheAUX. I want to talk about your name for a little bit.
All right.
Your various names. We already admitted that your name at one point was Jeremiah. Does anybody ever call you Jeremiah? Is this just maybe your grandma when you're in trouble or something like that? That's when it slips out? Were you ever little Jerry?
No, not Jerry, man. I didn't even know Jerry. You can turn Jeremiah into Jerry.
Okay.
Come on, bro. I'm just messing with you. That's a good question, man. You know what? I think people who really want to be on my good side, be like, pull out the Jeremiah on me all of a sudden.
Okay.
But my mom, she calls me Jer.
Well, now, with the current Dreezus, this is spelled Drezus.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere I read that people constantly say the name wrong, and I'd love to hear what people do say when they're saying it wrong. What do you get out there?
I get Dreezus the most.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people call me Dre because they think it's Dreezus. So, like,
as in Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I think they automatically assume that I'm trying to like pull out some Dr. Dre-ness or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but they're like, oh, Dre. They call me Dre. And I'm like, bro, my name's not Dre. You know, I have this lyric on this song called Big Dreams. Shout out to the girls who call me Dre. I always hated that. You know, because even after I put that song out, let me tell you this. I had a friend who I knew for maybe 6-7 years, and she still calls me Dre.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to say your name in case you hear it, but it's all love.
Okay. Sure.
No, yeah, Dreezus.
Dreezus
a lot.
So, okay.
Dreezus. When I went to Alaska, they were calling me Dreezus, and when I said it was Dreezus, they're like, oh, man. I like the way Dreezus sounds, man. You know, it sounds kind of like, well, Zeus is a big guy.
Yeah, well, he's the king of the Greek gods there. Well, now, before you were Dreezus, you were Dro. Okay, so tell me about this transition, Dro to Dreezus.
Dro, basically, I used to tag up when I was in my later teens.
Folks listening, don't go spray painting.
Yeah, I'm not condoning tagging up anything. You know, I used to tag that. That was when I was trying to find my identity as a MC.
Well, Dro's a three-letter quick tag,
yeah.
I suppose.
There's a lot more. We can go a little further into that, but
that's fine.
Dro basically just became a nickname on the street and within like different music families and all over the place, you know. And it came to this point when I was like, my boy, he called me Dro one day, and I was watching TV, and on the TV, on I think it was BET or something, or Much Music in Canada or something like that, I seen young Dro, you know, and I was like, oh man, this guy's way bigger than me. He's out there with T.I. making all this noise. And then I met this guy named Reverend Dro in Toronto. And then there's another guy named Little Dro that I seen. And this is back
a lot
in
of these Dros.
Yeah, in 2000, the time there's too many Dros. And I was like, man, I don't want to just be like okay. another Dro. I felt like I could be easily swept aside or something with too many, you know. When young Dro falls out, maybe I might fall out too. But it was just one of those things where I didn't really know too much about the music, about, you know, I was still trying to find myself musically and even as a person. And my boy Hellenbach from Team Rez Official, he used to always play with the words all the time. He was one of those guys. Dro turned into Drosif, somehow into Drees, Drizzle, Dreezy, Drizzy. That was before Drake, by the way. Somehow, one day, this is around the time when like Snoop Dogg was like for Shizzle, this and that. Yeah. And we were just playing around, and for some reason, my boy Hellenbach called me Saint Dreezus one day.
I love it.
And I was like, Saint, you calling me Saint? I'm Saint. But we kept the Dreezus, and I can't even explain it, man. There's not no really cool backstory to it. I've been telling a lot of people that.
I just heard really cool backstory to it.
There you go, right there. There you go. But yeah, basically, it just kind of morphed into that.
Well, I never thought about Dro, spelled D-R-O, but when you're saying it, it's short Jerome.
Yeah.
Dro.
There you go.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, Dreezus just came about, and we thought it was unique. I wanted it to be unique, and we found out that a lot of people couldn't say it. I just ran with it anyways, you know. It just good. Became who I am, and a lot of people call me Drees for short now.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of a tongue twister though too sometimes if you keep saying it. Drees, Drees,
Jesus.
Drees.
Well, Warpath. Now going back to your release, Indian Summer. Again, this one's from 2014, and it's out there. You can still get it. But Warpath, this is one of the videos available from Indian Summer as well. And it's noted that it's directed by Stewie Kubrick. So who's Stewie? How did he enter the picture on this one?
Oh, man, Stewie's a genius.
Oh, nice start. Good intro.
Yeah, he's I just watched a new video from him yesterday that he did. He's a genius. I stand behind him in that because he's a one-man band, basically. He's a video director for a lot of the biggest Canadian artists in hip-hop.
Okay.
We have a movement out there called SDK that I'm a part of as well.
SDK.
They also carry my merch, FN Apparel. Basically, Stewie is kind of the go-to guy for the SDK movement. I was just a fan of him. I remember just watching YouTube and seeing all these dope videos come out from the West Coast in Vancouver, Canada.
So he's
based in Vancouver.
Okay.
I was like, man, I want to get one of those, you know, because at that time I was just doing like little, kind of low budget, like
sure,
just
sure.
Let's go.
And how many iPhones do we got? Okay, let's.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You know, and I thought, man, I want one of those Stewie videos. I need one. So I reached out to him, and he already knew what it was. He seen that we'd been making a lot of noise. I was in Winnipeg at the time. I was working a lot with the Winnipeg's most guys. They had did a video called All That I Know in Winnipeg, and that one reached like 2 million views or something like that. It was one of the biggest videos for native hip-hop, and that was when I was like, yeah, I need one of these.
Okay.
It actually took a couple years, though, before us to actually get to work, and we did a song called Lose Control.
Lose Control.
Yeah, that was our first video we did together.
You and
Yeah, that was off the Red Winter album.
Oh, okay.
You know, that was kind of us just warming up, you know, getting to know each other. It's kind of a street-oriented video a little bit. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, I look back and I'm thinking, that's not really me. I always went through these moments in my career where I thought I had to be street because I'm a hip-hop artist.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I had to tell these stories about what I've been through, you know. But when it comes down to it, I'm not doing these things all day.
Yeah.
I wanted to be true to who I was.
Yeah, and it's not so much the focus of your music, so.
Yeah, you know, it's for me, my music is kind of like a, not even coming to age, but coming to a different place in yourself where you know yourself. You know where you're going and you know who your people are. You know who's there for you and who's not. It's not like an outside thing. It's right here.
Sure,
you know
right.
I mean? So that's what I thought when I seen that video with Stewie. And I'm like, we got to do something that connects. You know what I mean? So I just kept sending them new tracks and stuff like that.
Okay.
I did that Warpath song, man. I remember I got the beat one day from my homeboy Toolman, who is a part of a Tribe Called Red. He was the new guy in there. He just recently joined them, and he was always sending me beat packs when he had time. Now he's super busy with Tribe Called Red, so it's hard to get one of those now. But
good for him, though, you know?
Yeah, he blew up, man. I'm so proud of that guy. But yeah, he sent me a bunch of packs of beats, and then I heard this one beat, just bam. It was hard. I remember clearly sitting in the gym parking lot, just finished two killer workout, feeling on point, feeling good.
Good.
You know, and I threw that beat on in the car as soon as I jumped in. I only had it for a day, I think. I had a rhyme already in my head from that verse. You should know that I have risen through the... You know what I mean? So I started writing it. I finished it. Just in that parking lot. Just like, I sat there for like 2 hours or something like that. I got on the phone with Toolman. I'm like, man, I got one for this. I said, I don't know what to do for a hook, though. On the hook, it's like, who's going to rap with me? You know, who's going to rap? You know, at that point, it was just one line. That wasn't the hook at the time. So I was like, man, I don't know what to do. And then Toolman just sent me it back, just looping that one line. He's like, it sounds hard like that.
When it all goes down.
Then who's going to rap with me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going over and over. And I'm like, yeah, that's hard.
But before that, the quote that really grabbed me was, remove your feelings if you're going to ride with me.
Yeah.
I want to know what that line means to you, where it came from. Remove your feelings if you're going to ride with me.
That's an important one to me.
Yeah.
Remove your feelings if you're going to ride with me basically means, if you're going to ride with me as my brother, as my sister, as my family, I want to be able to trust you. I don't want any kind of small feelings to get involved in the bigger picture. I think if we're family, we can always get past these little things and focus on what we really need to do. It's basically, if I got your back, have mine fully, and I'll have yours fully.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Good.
And I'm not going to be sitting here about logistics or friendships or anything like that. If you're with me, you're with me.
Yeah.
Put away any past perceptions, preconceived notions.
Right.
Put them all away, because this is what I am right now. It speaks to being guided by the spirit and not by your little, like, what if I should do that? I might offend this person, or, you know, or why didn't you let me come with you that day? Or how come you didn't let me rhyme first? Or, you know, stuff like that. It's just like,
you know, incidental, piddly stuff. Yeah.
That's exactly what I say. If you look at the lyrics, I say something right after that.
Yeah.
Right on those lines. So that was important. That's cool that you asked me that.
Well, that's what caught me, and I had to pause it and hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into the other part that's repeated over and over. When it all goes down, who's going to ride with me? But we only get that, remove your feelings if you're going to ride with me, kind of near the beginning and once again toward the end.
Yeah.
More path.
What I'm basically saying is, let's go. If you're with me, I'm with you.
Nice.
Let's go.
Sweet. You're listening to KBCR. I'm David Fleming in conversation with rap and hip-hop artist Dreezus. Another one from Indian Summer, Cruisin'. I'm back, baby, like, what's up? Stomp on the beat, now you know you're now, you have a few people on this one. Can you name for me the players?
Yeah, my homeboy Red Cloud and the homegirl Crystal Lightning.
Crystal? Oh, that was Crystal. Okay, okay.
Yeah, they formed a group, Lightning Cloud.
Yeah.
And I actually seen Red Cloud last night and out here in L.A. So.
Well, so with this one, Cruisin', first of all, it's a really fun one. And this has to do with just coming to town, looking up your friends wherever you are, and just hanging.
I like to make hip-hop music true to how I feel at the time, my mood. I have all types of different sides to my character and my personality, and that one was just a fun one. Left hand on your cup, put your right hand up, get your back up off the wall. When you in my hood, baby, it's all good. Give your big home girl a call. You can find me in my low rider. Just cruising. My boy Stomp produced the beat, and I felt West Coasty on it.
Okay.
So I had to get some people from the coast to, like, bring it there.
So I called Lightning Cloud. Okay, that's easy enough. Wow.
Yeah, then boom, and she was all talking about low riders and stuff. And I was like,
okay. Calling my low rider. Did everybody write the individual parts that they do, or is this something you wrote out and they performed the parts?
Yeah, for the most part, I like artists to do their own thing.
Okay.
And, you know, bring what they want to bring to the table. And if anything, we'll just kind of like tweak it a little bit here and there. But as far as that song goes, Red Cloud did his own thing. Crystal did her own thing.
Okay.
Boom.
Okay.
You know, it was a lot of fun for me.
It really sounds like I said, that you're going to see friends. Crystal is saying, when you come to town, call me. I'll be my lowrider. I don't know.
Yeah. She doesn't specifically have a lowrider, but she's got a really nice whip, a really nice vehicle. And I actually did call them up when I came to town. So that song was true to form for sure.
Beautiful. Looking at then the morning after, what we were talking about earlier is looking at your life, not so much the street thing, but parts of your life and what it has led to and how you've gotten here. And that's really refreshing, I should say. The morning after, another line that really caught me in this, and the morning after, again, this is one from Indian Summer. If you got a dream, don't wake up. That's something that is repeated a few times. That may be the hook on that one. It's kind of a powerful statement right there. If you got a dream, don't wake up. And there's an additional line to that.
Yeah, I say, if you got a dream, don't wake up till you get your cake up.
That's it.
At the time, I was feeling really ambitious. I wanted to make a song about the people who are actually out there getting up to go to work and having to make some ends meet for the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what that hook, when I say get your cake up, I'm talking about your money.
Okay,
you know,
like, okay. Simple as that.
Yeah, there you go. If you got a big dream, don't wake up out of that dream. Keep going. And I feel like it's a whole nother realm in our lives. And once we tap into that dream that we have, because we all have a dream. Some of us just have it way back.
Sure.
You know?
Big baby dreams, boy, putting in work. I never thought that my rhymes would take it this far. We travel the world.
You mentioned in The Morning After, I never thought my rhymes would take me all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this an honest, introspective glimpse into maybe your early surprise, or were you just really connecting another verse with a rhyme?
That rhyme in particular, it's definitely true, because I was born in a place where nobody thinks they're ever gonna get out of that. The common goal is today, this second. What can I do to make sure I'm right now and I'm gonna get through this? You know what I mean? So that lyric in particular meant a lot to me, because although I might not be in a place like South Africa, I have fans out there now. And I've been getting booking inquiries from all over the place, right? And I actually been to Alaska for the first time. And it's happening. You know, music's going all over the place. I get hit up on a daily from all over the world.
Sweet.
People a couple days ago asking for a Mexico show near Tijuana. I'm kind of scared of Mexico, so I don't know if I'm going over there.
Pardon.
No, I'm just kidding. I'll go wherever you want me to go, but I find it really humbling, and it's an honor to have people listen to my music all over the world.
And that's really cool too, especially if you were just starting off just playing with a tape recorder, and now it's actually become something and people are asking you to play. You're being a part of other projects, which I guess reminds me of something. Most of what we've been talking about has been coming from Indian Summer. I certainly don't want to ignore what's come before or what's coming up.
Yeah.
So let's look for a second at Indigenous Resistance. I know this wasn't yours, but you were part of it. And one of the most recent things that we can find with you out there, tell us who, what is SNRK, and then what part of Indigenous Resistance do you play? But first of all, who is SNRK?
SNRK.
Yeah.
It's short for Snotty Nose Res Kids.
Mm-hmm.
I got some homies from the west coast of Canada. They're very young and they're very in tune with what's going on in the world and what's going on with in our indigenous world, and specifically their community, where we have a lot of pipeline talks, approved pipelines. They've actually had family and they've been on the front line out there in Camp Lilu, BC for the past year and has been supporting Standing Rock as well. They hit me up a couple months ago when I was going to Vancouver about doing a track about the resistance, you know, what I thought about the resistance, what it was to me. At that time when we got in the studio, I was just overtaken by like a story of a strong woman. Ugichita, this means warrior in my language. And like, I thought of a strong woman when I wrote my verse, and I speak about how much women have been through and still go through, and how we can use this energy that's being generated right now throughout our people, throughout Canada, US, the whole world, like this whole new shift in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
We can use that to help our native women, our indigenous women,
yeah.
You know, get them to a place where they deserve to be.
Yes.
You know, in the world.
Music in Conversation with rap and hip-hop artist Dreezus. Among other things, his release, Indian Summer. You're listening to KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Back now to Music in Conversation with rap and hip-hop artist Dreezus.
Yesterday, North Dakota looked more like a war zone than the site of...
So with Indigenous Resistance, was this a Standing Rock video? Did you perform it there?
We recorded it in Vancouver, and the video was using a lot of clips from some of my friends who were actually at Standing Rock.
Gotcha. Okay, okay.
And they kind of use it as just visuals to get your mind going type of thing.
Gotcha. Well then, speaking of Standing Rock, you did do BSK, and it's we're not going to leave it at BSK.
The Black Snake Killers.
Yeah,
that's my newest song, and I feel it's probably one of my best songs to date. It speaks to, again, the warrior in us. Specifically in terms of what's going on with Standing Rock and what's going on with the earth.
Mm.
You know, we're taking it for granted.
In Black Snake Killer,
mm-hmm.
you've got questioning of the media, talking about messing up water or messed up water, stuff that's gone on in the past and also possibilities of the future. Water is life, of course. There's a lot going on with Black Snake Killer. Now, this one was performed at Standing Rock, right? And don't you have something coming up in Santa Cruz? And when people are listening to this interview, his performance in Santa Cruz will have happened a couple of weeks ago, I suppose. But this is something rather significant. So if you could tell us about this so people will maybe know of future events like this, what you're going to be doing in Santa Cruz.
Basically, connecting with a bunch of other water protectors from Standing Rock to basically raise awareness to the cause and get the public support behind what we're trying to do out there, which is basically fight this black snake. And when I say black snake, I refer to a prophecy by Lakota people, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry if I'm mistaken, but there's a prophecy that a man dreamt of a snake running through the land, poisoning, causing destruction, you know. And a lot of us heard this as children. We just didn't really picture it yet or know what it meant at the time. But now it's definitely out there. You know, if you were to take a look at the pipeline map, pipeline construction within the whole North America, it runs right through everywhere, basically. You know?
Right.
And basically what happens with these is they're not safe. We all know that. It's apparent. You know, there's spills. Every single pipeline spills at some point. It ruptures. You know, maybe because they're always speeding it along, you know, right? Especially in Standing Rock, they're speeding it along right now so that, you know, we don't stop it, basically. Or the water protectors out there don't get in the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what's going to happen when you rush things, man? You know,
like, shoddy construction, yeah.
There you go, yeah. You know. I think that it's just really important that we're at least aware. I know that we're so deep into this pocket, into this system that, it's really hard to go about your day without using petroleum products.
Yeah, it goes beyond gas, yeah.
That's one thing that we all face, is that we need the gas to get to certain places. But we also know that all this overproduction of the fuels and everything is taken away from the body of Mother Earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is a very recent one, Black Snake Killer. So it has yet to make it to a collection that we'll be able to call a CD or an album at some point. There's a couple more fairly recent, at least compared to Indian Summer and some of the things. Another bit of a crossover with Aspects, okay? There's one out there called Looking at the Devil, and part of this grouping is Joey Styles. We were mentioning him earlier. Jumping from Aspects, unless there's some cool juicy stories there, jumping from Aspects, I want to go along with Joey. He's a part of Nehi Owl Girl.
Yeah, you're close, man. You're okay. Close.
Well, now with that, you have the video. You now have the official Nehi Owl dancers as well. Mm-hmm. So this one coming together, you got together with Joey again.
I knew Aspects from Ottawa, Ontario, from like 2005, and
okay.
I actually lived out there for a short time for a couple of years, and I didn't see too many Native kids like visibly like out there that like, were around my age that I connected with. We actually started working together, actually doing 9-to-5 work together, and that's where we connected. And he brought me to the studio, and he was one of those guys. At that time, he was doing all these songs with like Tupac's Outlaw group.
Really?
Yeah, all these crazy artists from the West Coast, from New York. And I was like, how's this guy doing work with all these guys? And I was like, I want to get into that. I never really did get into that little pocket, but we started to build together, and he's definitely one of the strongest indigenous MCs out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did that song with Joey called Looking at the Devil. I think that was one of the first times I got on a track with Joey and actually said some real stuff. It was a strong track, and that was kind of me and Joey, our shift together as collabs go.
Let's talk about Taboo for a second.
Okay. Taboo's an artist from Black Eyed Peas. I remember seeing Black Eyed Peas come out, I believe it was the late 90s, and they were on some underground like hip-hop, like really like grassroots hip-hop, and I became a fan of them. Things happened, obviously, and they found a little pocket there in the pop world, which I definitely have nothing but respect for. You know, I'm not a fan of pop music, per se, nor do I want to make pop music.
Good.
But I respected the growth, getting out there and getting onto a bigger platform. And
we got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. 5 years ago, I took my son to a Black Eyed Peas concert, and I seen Taboo, like, when he made his appearance or whatever.
Right, into the, walked onto the stage.
He didn't walk on the stage. That's why I didn't say walk on the stage.
Oh, yeah, good point.
When he made his...
Yeah. He doesn't do that.
I don't know what he did, but he came flying out of this... He was on this futuristic motorbike or something that flew.
He's the Power Ranger of
the
group. Yeah, and
he came in here like this, his hair is all gone. I'm like, whoa, man. Like, that's a Native guy up there. Like, what? Me and my boy were freaking out. You know, he had the time of his life at that show. He was still young enough to be like, you know, now he's a cool guy now. But at that time, it meant a lot to us.
Okay, sure, yeah.
So that was cool. So then fast forward to a couple months back, he just hit me up on Instagram out of the blue. He's like, bro, man, I'm a fan. I see what you're doing. You're repping our people. He goes, I'd like to get down with you on the track.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there with my son, the same son who was with me at the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we were eating breakfast. He's like, whoa. You know, he was hype. He was super hype. He has been for the past 2 months. Basically, Taboo was doing a track for Standing Rock, and he's like, do you want to get down? I'm like, no, I want to get down. Especially because I had just come from there a few weeks prior to that. So I was definitely like juiced up, and I was there, you know, mentally. So he sent me the track over, gave me a little piece to get down on, and it just flowed out. You know, I spoke from the heart. I spoke about what keeps me centered, and I spoke about the Sweat Lodge in my rap, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time somebody's rapped so aggressively about a Sweat Lodge. Maybe even the first time somebody rapped about a Sweat Lodge.
Peaceful experience.
You know what I mean? But the way it came off was really cool. Like, I think anyways, you know, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but I was like, when I look back on it, I was like, man, this is what I wanted to do all my life, was speak on who I am and who we are through hip hop.
Wow.
You know, and it came full circle, and I sent them the track. We didn't actually get together because he was in LA and I was in Canada.
Oh, okay.
So I just hit the studio where I'm at and dropped my verse, and I had like a 2-day window to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to write it quick, boom, get down to the studio quick, made it happen, sent them the verse, heard the track back, and was like, whoa. Because he also had Shailene Woodley on it, the girl from Insurgents. That was extra large for me. Because I was like, okay, we got a Hollywood actor on this song now. I'm like, oh, man, it's getting kind of crazy.
About to get big.
Yeah. Then he hit me up. He's like, okay, we're shooting a vid now. Can you shoot your spots for the vid?
Okay.
Like, just from where we're at.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, I don't know if he wants me to say this or not, but...
I want you to say it.
Yeah, I had to shoot my spot at a different location, and I happened to be way up in Alaska. You know, where they call me Drezus. Or Drezus, I should say.
Drezus, yeah.
And I had my homeboy, Bishop Slice. We were in the studio that night with Mike Bone, some Native artist from Oklahoma. We were in the studio with Mike Bone and Bishop Slice. and we were in the process of making our first song together, and then Taboo called. He's like, can you get some shots done? And then all of a sudden I got a call from the director telling me what kind of shots. So then I scrambled around looking for a camera in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah.
We found one, shot it, boom, done deep. It's already out on YouTube. You can go check it out. It's called Stand and Rock.
Stand and Rock.
Yeah. It gave me a whole nother platform for my voice because the video came out on The Fader and other big publications. A lot of publications that I'd never been on before.
Mm-hmm.
I went crazy. I was like, oh. The fact that they mentioned my name in the same article, I was really honored and felt blessed, man. You know, because at the end of the day, I'm still a hip-hop fan and I'm still that little native boy, you know, who just wanted to be heard and wanted to make some good music.
Yeah.
So every time I get even fan love, you know, if I get fan love, like the other day from Mexico, I go, oh, you know, I get all excited.
Oh, sure,
you know,
of course. Like, oh, you should, no. Yeah.
I hope to stay that way, and I will. As far as I can tell, I'm one of those artists who sits with the people, eats with the people, you know what I mean? And Taboo, really, it was an honor, because I seen him as this big pop star.
Part of the Black Eyed Peas, man, yeah.
And to come back down and say, hey, my native, let's go. That was big.
That's sweet.
You know what I mean?
Suddenly on the same level.
So yeah, and today I'm here in LA, and we're getting to work this week again on some more stuff, so it's going to keep moving. Much love to Taboo, man. Thank you, my brother.
You're listening to KBCR. I'm David Fleming in conversation with rap and hip-hop artist Dreezus. In Canada, you have APTN?
Yeah.
What does that stand for, please?
Aboriginal People's Television Network.
Okay, so this is, in essence, we've got FNX here, First Nations Experience. It's all Indigenous programming. So I'm just really wondering, maybe you grew up with APTN and just presumed it always to be, but this is kind of a big thing to have started here. So I really just want, from the cuff, your thoughts on stations like this.
Well, before APTN, we had stuff like CBC. We saw some Native programming.
But not completely devoted.
Not like APTN, though.
Right.
That came out, I think, when I was a teenager.
Okay.
It was like, what's going on here, you know? Like I said earlier, I think a lot of us grow up to think that we don't deserve a lot. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I think it's that not a lot of people have high aspirations because we see others, you know, falling victim to a lot of stuff. So to be able to see APTN and represent us at that level was huge. I think it was a boost even to my confidence as a Native person.
That's good that you were, I think, a teen when it came out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So just to be able to be like, oh, Native guy, that's cool, you know? And even sometimes I might be on there later on in life, you know, when I was rapping. And
this
and,
Native guy.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, there's me, you know? But back then, like, it was like, hey, this is real cool, you know? And these type of stations, it's a blessing, I think, to the community to be able to show the outside world how we live and a real representation of who we are and what we're capable of doing. It's a showcase of our strengths, I think.
Yes.
And I appreciate you guys.
The nice thing about programming stations like FNX and APTN, it's not just the native to that continent or country. We've got Inuit, Aboriginal, we've got all over the world if it's Indigenous.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, because I feel like Indigenous communities all over the world go through the same thing. If not the same, it's very similar. Like, I was just actually open to this whole concept just honestly very recently, in the past maybe 3 years, that all Indigenous people come from the same struggle, same place, basically. You know what I mean? And it may not be geographically. I think the people that kind of remain there are the fire keepers that kind of remain true to those roots, is what I should say. We're storytellers. We're storytellers of the land, because I feel like Indigenous people haven't completely lost that connection to the land, like a lot of today's society. Even just having all that concrete in between our feet and the actual land is a disconnection in itself. You know what I mean? I'm getting kind of deep here, but the whole money system kind of just, it's funny I'm about to say this, trumped the whole Indigenous culture. Wow. It's happened to this day. But we have people like you guys, people like me, people like Taboo, and especially our brothers and sisters on the ground, Ground Zero. We have all of these people working to break it free from those chains.
Now we have stations out there like APTN in Canada and FNX here, and that can do nothing but good, I think, as far as helping to spread the word.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. I went to Albuquerque, my son's mother's house, and I just dropped him off. I wanted to relax, and I turned on the TV. It was FNX. And,
oh, there it is, yeah.
I seen some natives from Canada on there.
Hey.
And I was like, hey. Yeah, it was cool because not only is it focusing on the people in the country, like you said, it's focusing on all indigenous people, and I feel like indigenous people are all one family. We're all one family. It's just that indigenous people know that.
Before we wrap completely, we were addressing a lot from Indian Summer and a few other things here and there. You've got a new album in the works.
Yeah, it's overdue too. Man, I've been working on it over a year. When I came back in 2013, I wanted to like hit an album every year, but I found out that is very hard to do. Very hard to do. But in the past year, I've been really in touch with the current state of events in the world, and especially within our indigenous community. And I also been traveling a whole lot, doing shows. I've been all over the place, man. And I've been picking up all types of different vibes and energies and takes on the world and everything. Foods, cultures. And this new album I got coming out this spring is called Public Enemy. It's an ode to the group called Public Enemy, Chuck D and Flavor Flav. It's an ode to them first. They really said a lot with their music through hip hop. They were a huge political voice. I'm not saying that I want to be a political voice. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to speak to some stuff that happens in the community. And that's how I seen Public Enemy. You know what I mean? They made it sound really good. That's the first reason why. But the real behind the scenes meaning to Public Enemy is how I'm perceived in society today. When I walk out of these doors, when I walk into a gas station, when I walk into wherever, I'm perceived as a threat. I'm also a really big guy. So that
he's tatted up.
Tatted up too, you know, like, you know, I'm perceived like that.
People are hearing a very friendly conversational tone here, and this is what we're hearing. But we're talking now.
No, if you see me, you know, like, people get scared, you know, like, people are scared first. And I wanted to speak on the fact that we're perceived as the public enemy, as myself and maybe even as a people. But I believe that it's switched, it's totally flipped, and that we are not the public enemy. I am not the public enemy. I'm your brother.
Yeah.
And I don't want to point no fingers, but I think we all know who the real public enemies are. Who say they might be serving us, but they're not serving the public. And that's where the ideology came for the album. So basically, it's a story about a Native male coming to age in today's world and how to navigate that. How I navigate this world today, being conscious of who I am and becoming conscious of who I am.
Is it going to be, for lack of a better way of saying it, a concept album where there's going to be this continuous theme going through it?
Yeah, it's a lot more focused than Indian Summer. Indian Summer was an album where I was kind of just showcasing a lot of different sounds and different...
Yeah, there was a little bit of an R&B thing, there was a little bit of a harder edge hip-hop thing going on, there was a lot of different sounds to complement that one.
Yeah, that album was kind of just who I am musically and what I'm capable of doing. And with Public Enemy, it's more of a story. It's more of a theme that's focused on the mental navigating today's world. And there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of heartache, there's a lot of anger, but there's also a lot of love.
Good.
You know what I mean? So I got songs on there about my family, about my sons. I made a song each for my two sons. And I played it for them when I was at Standing Rock a few weeks ago. Actually, I played one of them for my son, Sugo, at his 10th birthday. That was my first birthday I spent with him in Albuquerque. And I played on this song and we just all cried. And then I'm about to cry right now. But I also made a song for my son Tyson. I showed him that at Standing Rock. And I never seen that look on him. Wow. Ever.
So any idea on the release time for this, when this is going to be coming out?
Spring, for sure, summer.
Okay.
Spring, summer release. I also have a single called Get Up coming out. There's just a whole lot of stuff coming out. For people that follow me on Instagram or Facebook or what have you, there'll be updates for that, most definitely.
Well then, what are the best ways of staying with you? Is there a Dreezus.com or, you know, we've got Facebook. Tell us the various ways that people can listen to you, see photos between sets, you know, everything.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of a social media junkie, so I'm on like everything. Facebook. Instagram is Dreezus.
You still have a MySpace page?
No MySpace, man. Actually, you know what?
So you're not that old.
MySpace.com/BigDro might still be there.
It's still there.
BigDro, okay. By the way.
But BigDro, there's a name.
Facebook, Dreezus Music. Instagram, Dreezus. Twitter, Dreezus. Snapchat, Big Baby Dreez.
Big Baby Dreez.
That's the inside look. Snapchat is like what I'm eating right now, right now. Actually, okay. I might even do one right now.
Oh,
actually.
Well, you should, yeah.
And also DreezusMusic.com.
Okay, DreezusMusic.com. Man, again, this was a fun conversation. I appreciate this, and I want to be able to continue to follow you, even though you're up in Canada and we're down here.
Yeah.
So whenever Public Enemy does come out, I definitely want to get a copy down here and definitely get another interview talking about that.
Got you.
Thanks again.
Thank you, my brother.
Music and conversation with rap and hip-hop artist Dreezus for the entirety of tonight's KVC Arts. Dreezus Music on Facebook, among the many other social media platforms he stays on. And as we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts, thanks again to Dreezus and at FNX, Frank Blanquette, Robin Underwood, and Eddie Tahuka. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Lindsay Boyd, and General Manager Alfredo Cruz. Beyond the music of Dreezus, heard tonight, music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVC Arts programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.